This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and here with Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvissuto.
Yes, sir. It's a great night.
Yes, it is a great night. It's the Wednesday before Christmas. Mm-hmm. How much better does it get than that, Tomas?
That's right.
Tonight, just an open show.
Open show.
Open show. Everybody gets the, I think it's the next 2 weeks are just strictly open shows. We're going to just answer whatever questions anybody wants to ask. If there's anybody out there listening, the traffic was kind of light coming over here tonight.
Yeah, they're all at the mall.
Except our producers somehow or another found a traffic jam to, drive into. So that was impressive. But we got Brian at the helm, and we're confident we'll get through this night until Chris gets here. So anyway, open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to direct the conversation tonight, you want to hear something that's specific to you, you may want to know about this new tax law. Should you be doing this or should you be doing that? Or are there any strategies to think about or whatever? You might want to be talking about Social Security. I had clients in today and we were laying out a Social Security strategy that they should implement. And, maybe you want to talk about investments. The market's continuing to, look like it wants to go higher, but, you had a little rally after the,
right.
The tax law kind of passed, and then all of a sudden the last 2 days it's kind of shuffled backwards a little, And
yep.
So you're wondering, is it going to finally have a correction? Who knows? We don't know. I can assure you, don't call and ask that question, because we don't know for sure whether the market will or will not. We do know one thing, that sometime in the next 50 years, the market will go up and down.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And up again, hopefully.
Yeah, well, and, hopefully the ultimate direction that it'll go in the 50 years is up.
That's right.
But in the course of the years, it'll be up and down.
Exactly.
Yeah, so,
exactly.
But after that pontification on investment philosophy, you might want to ask another question on investments of some sort.
Right.
Or you might want to ask a question on estate planning or whatever. If it deals with your personal finances, we're here to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call in at 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. So, Tom, you're coming into the end of the year. You have, what,
six trading days.
Six trading days?
Yeah.
Why only six?
Because we're off on Monday.
Well, I know we're off on Monday, so that's four. You're right. I ended up really quick.
That's good, because you do math all the time.
But it took me a little while to get to the six.
I was thinking
said.
About
I was
it.
Thinking
while
seven.
You were talking, I was thinking.
I was thinking, was it seven? No, it's only six. It's 6 days, six business days left we have in the year.
Yep.
And so you got to pull any strategies you're going to pull before then. And you
tax
law.
That's a good point. So there are some strategies you have to do by Friday the 29th. And there are some things that you can still do next year.
Right.
But you got to know the difference between the two. You can't come to us or any other people and say, "Oh, I wanted to do X," and it's February 14th and it's Valentine's Day, but you can't do that strategy anymore.
So if somebody wants to sell a stock and realize a tax loss, can they sell it on the 29th, or do they have to sell it a couple of days before so it can settle before the 29th?
Well, even though you're the CPA, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you can sell it on the 29th at 3:59 p.m.
That is true. That is correct.
Well, if the market's I didn't check the day. I think the market's going to be open to the
trade date is tax law, not settlement
even
day.
Even though it won't settle until January the 3rd.
It won't settle until January. You're fine selling it on December 29th, and that's an important thing that if you want to realize the tax loss, you've got to get it done. And but let's talk about this new tax law, because it is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of provisions, and I think the biggest one is the increase in the standard deduction For single people to $12,000, and for married couples to $24,000.
Yep.
And that is, well, but you know, that's not the thing.
There
that's
are nuances.
Gonna, that's not the thing that's going to kick people out of the itemized deduction. As they said, you know, I didn't understand. They said they're raising standard deduction to $24,000, and this is going to eliminate a lot of people from filing itemized deductions. I didn't understand that at first until I started to look at all the other things they were going to do, doing away with all miscellaneous itemized deductions.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. We were just looking at a client today, had $30,000 in miscellaneous itemized deductions.
Yep.
The elimination of state and local income taxes down to a max of $10,000, no matter if it's property tax, state and local income taxes, and so forth.
Yep.
And that's what's going to knock people out.
For sure.
Because when you, most people had $15,000, $20,000 of state and local income taxes and property taxes, and then they had their charity, and then they at least had a handful of miscellaneous deductions.
Right.
And that's where they were itemizing and would still be itemizing. But under this new law, they're not going to do it anymore.
Yep.
And so there are going to be some strategies we want to talk about, but we're going to go first to John and Glen Burnie. John, how can we help you?
Well, just that question. You know, I'm self-employed and I pay quarterly taxes, and sometimes I overpay my state taxes to take them off as a deduction for the year. Should I bother with that strategy this year, or should I even overdo it?
Well, I wouldn't overdo it, but you should definitely pay any state income tax estimated tax payment in December of 2017, because you're if you're ever going to have a chance to deduct it, it's going to be this year. You cannot overdo it, because if you do an extra one that you just apply toward 18, this new tax law is saying we're not going to give you the deduction for it.
Right, but then when you get back the refund, you have to report it as income next year.
Well, you're right.
True.
If you would have to report it as income, but you know, you that's why you really want to be careful that you don't pay your and but you know, you don't have to report it as income if you didn't get the tax deduction for it. Am I making that clear?
Yes, sure.
So the law is clear that refunds are not taxable. It's refunds that you got a tax deduction for that are taxable.
Right. Well, I guess I have to think it out. So this year I'll get a tax deduction for it, and the money that they send me for next year.
But you know, I'm not sure exactly how the law is going to work, because here's the complication of this. They made it retroactive to January 1, 2017, that you can't deduct the state and local taxes for 2018, so that if you paid too much in 2017 and you apply it to next year, it's not going to be deductible on your 17 tax return. So
I see. So they might come back for the money.
They might say you don't get a deduction, and if they do, and you had to report it as income, you wouldn't have to report it as income if they denied your deduction for 17. If you got the deduction, and then you would have to report it as income.
Yep.
It's ridiculously complicated, but this is simplification at its finest, John.
Yeah. Can I ask another question? I didn't know.
I gotta go to traffic. Can you hold on?
Yeah, sure.
All right, you're gonna hold. All right, you got it. All right, then take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. One of the missions of our company is to create a model of the professional advisory firm. We do the radio show to demonstrate what we believe a true professional should be. Your financial advisor should be able to demonstrate the same depth of personal financial knowledge as we do on our radio show. If not, then you need a new advisor. For investments can easily be duplicated, but comprehensive knowledge takes years of learning and experience. We trademarked the financial physical in 1990 and have been building this model for 27 years. If you wonder if we are different, then just do a financial physical and see for yourself. The complete plan is free to you if our comprehensive planning does not prove to be overwhelmingly beneficial. This is how confident we are. call 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE to learn more, or go online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
It's a good thing I gave Chris that Christmas gift.
Yes.
Because he remembered, you know?
He did. He said it last week.
Yeah, I said it last week, and he remembered, you know? It's my favorite Christmas song. Mm-hmm. This is the... I'm going to have to pay royalties to somebody soon, Chris. There you go. This is the best part here. John's wondering if I'm going to answer his question now. All right, we got to go. We'll come back to that later. John, you're still there.
Yeah, I'm here. I want to ask about entertainment, business entertainment. I heard they did away with lunches and stuff like that.
Yes. A lot of entertainment got kiboshed in this tax law for businesses. They dropped the corporate rate down to 21%. They were looking for lots of ways to deduct. But, you know, and also all employee expenses on your personal income tax, miscellaneous itemized deductions, are gone completely. The only way you're going to get reimbursed for employee business expenses is getting your employer to reimburse you in what's called an accountable plan. And that's very important. Anybody who wants to get their expenses for doing business things like driving your car, or you know, it's like you just said, you can't do lunches and things and entertainment. But there are plenty of things. A company computer. A lot of people would buy a computer and deduct it on their personal return. You know, using your home office for, you know, the expenses you have of running a home office. And these are all gone under the new tax law. So you got to go with an accountable plan and so forth. All right, John?
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. Yeah, it's interesting.
It's simpler.
Wayne and Arnold, how can we help you?
How you doing? My daughter is about 27 years old, homemaker, and has very limited income, but wants to start something for her retirement.
Okay.
What do you think she can do? Because I'm at a loss other than CDs and garbage.
The only thing she should even consider, Wayne, is a Roth IRA.
I understood that for a Roth IRA, it was required that it be earned income.
So she has no earned income at all?
Correct.
Period.
Right. The money comes in from, you know, every once in a while doing babysitting for here, there, whatever. That kind of thing.
Is she married?
She's married.
Does he make money?
He makes money.
Well, then she can do a Roth IRA as long as their family income isn't over $187,000.
And that Roth IRA would include just his income, nothing to do with hers. Is that correct?
It doesn't matter which of the two spouses makes earned income, just as long as one of them makes earned income of more than $5,500 or $11,000 if they both want to do a Roth. And the only other provision, Wayne, is that the overall adjusted gross income of the family is not more than $187,000.
Okay, Roth IRA is a big, because it's almost any investment that qualifies, obviously.
Yeah, any investment, and the more money it makes, the better off you are. How much money do the two of them make together?
Probably about 35 grand.
Why, it's even better than that, Wayne. If your daughter and son-in-law put even $1,000 into a Roth IRA, the federal government is going to give them a tax credit. And I don't think they did away with this. I didn't see anything said they did away with it.
Right.
They're going to give a retirement savers tax credit of probably $200 to $400.
Beautiful. Last, if I may, and I really appreciate that, the to clear up those misconceptions of mine. But what could she invest in terms of the Roth IRA? Because Roth IRA is almost any investment that, again, qualifies.
She should just put it into a good index fund, you know, a good...
Sure. I mean,
you know,
she could
international,
go to a Vanguard, a T. Rowe Price, a Charles Schwab.
A global index fund, get a little bit of all the world markets.
Target date funds that they have.
Target date funds, 2050, something like that. Those would be great options. Vanguard, that's where I would go, Vanguard, and ask them for a target date fund of 2050, and they'll do all the investing for her.
So that's the target?
Target date, or I don't know what Vanguard calls them, retirement.
Yeah, retirement date, target
2050.
Date. You know, basically, you pick something that's close to your retirement date.
They'll
so
know what you're talking
if
about.
If she's 27,
I got
looking...
down what you had. Just wanted to get at least a general.
Yeah. So
anyway.
All right, about. Buddy.
Mm-hmm. So much.
All right. Yeah, have a great Christmas, my friend.
You too, Meg.
We're going somewhere. Where are we going? John in Perry Hall. How can we help you?
Hey, Drew. Great show.
Oh, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Go ahead and ask.
I have a question for you, Drew. Say you're 36 and you work for the government and you're going to be maxed out where you'll get 90% of your health care when you hit 30 years for the rest of your life and you'll get your full pension and you'd only be like 53. And I'm contributing to a Roth already and I'm doing the deferred comp, Roth deferred comp here at the government.
Okay.
What would you do to tie yourself over from 53 to the full Social Security age? If you did say you didn't want to work, you just wanted to kick it.
What would I do in the sense of...
Where are you going to draw your income from?
Where are you going to draw your income from?
Well, yeah, like what would you do to increase your income in that like 10 to 12 years?
To increase it? You mean, but you're not going to work, right?
No, not going to work. You'll have your pension.
Right.
And... You know, I guess if, what is it, 55 and a half, you can draw off the Roth?
Well, now, wait a minute. It's 59 and a half.
Oh,
but wait a minute. You said something very important. You said you had a 457B Roth account with the government, right?
Yep.
That 457 is an eligible account to withdraw from at any age as long as you separate employment. You check that. You check that out with them. I'm almost 100% confident of that.
Without tax consequences?
Well, if it's a Roth, it's without tax consequences.
But only on what you put in, not the what's gained, right?
It should be with what's gained. Now, that's going to be the interesting part because the 457 plan works is that you can withdraw from them. Now, the Roth 457, that's what confuses me because I don't know the rule on the Roth 457 is whether the distributions that are interest, dividends, and growth will be tax-free. But I do know this, that as long as you separate from service, a 457 is a qualified plan that you can withdraw from. Like, you know, if you had if you had pre-tax money. Do you have pre-tax money in the 457?
Well, yeah, about the first 10 years. Well, about the first 6 years I was here, they didn't offer the Roth.
Okay,
so,
but the pre-tax money is taxed, is no penalty to take that for sure. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt.
If you have your if you separate.
If you separate and you intend to separate, right?
Yeah. Well, I intend to retire.
Yeah. So why don't you, your income can't be that high, even if they would tax the Roth, I would leave the Roth anyway because you want that Roth to continue to grow. The benefit of that is to continue to grow. You take your pre-tax 457B, it's not a penalty, use that to live on until you hit 59 and a half that you can then start drawing on all these other accounts if you need to until you get to Social Security.
So what you're saying is, because I don't have much in that account. I have most of it in the 457 Roth. So it sounds like you're saying it might be better to just go back in the pre-tax.
Now, how long is it going to be until you actually retire?
17 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I would do a little bit of both. I would do enough to get me into the pre-tax so that when I do retire, the pre-tax money is going to carry me for 10 years, and then the Roth money will continue to grow tax-free, and I'll use that later in life. That's the way. That's the strategy I would implement if I had that, situation. Because remember, Roth is always you always leave the Roth as long into the future as possible. That's the concept. You want it to continue to grow tax-free, tax-free, tax-free.
And I can still contribute to my own Roth, right?
Yeah, absolutely, as long as your income's under $187,000. All right?
Under that.
All right, okay. I got to run. You take
all
care.
Right. Thanks.
We got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Rich, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say.
So I didn't tell Chris what my second favorite Christmas song was. This is a good one, but it's not. This isn't it.
There's one more break.
Did you see what I see? I don't even know if that's the name of it, is it?
Do you hear what I hear?
Or what is it? You know, did you hear what I hear? Did you see what I see? Do you know what I know? All that kind of stuff. But that's a good song. I like that. So a caller asked if you knew about bonus to AT&T employees to offset new tax code. Have you heard true rumor? Yes, I did hear. $1,000. Is it $1,000 or $2,000? Which was it?
$1,000 to 200,000 employees.
$1,000 to 200,000 employees. And I don't know what he means by to offset new tax code. Because, you know, I did calculations, and I've also read many calculations. Almost every single person I've looked at that makes under $500,000, I've seen it to be a net positive in a big way. Now, I'm sure you can find people, and I don't know, you probably are one of the exceptions there, Tommaso. Did you do your own?
No.
No, you didn't want to know.
I'm busy taking care of clients.
I'm busy taking care of clients. But, you know, Mike did his. He calculated out, what, a $4,000 savings for himself and had somebody else calculate out his, and he had $3,000. I calculated out two or three clients, and they were all positive. And then I saw an article, eight people, and six of them were all positive. They were all $500,000 and lower. But any one of them that was over $500,000, they were all net increases. So, you know, I wonder what that would mean that anybody would say, well, we're going to give you an extra $1,000 to offset the impact of the new tax code. Well, it sounds like you're getting a little extra extra if somebody's going to give you a bonus because of that.
That's an increased expense for AT&T, and therefore their taxes will be lower.
Yeah, well, maybe they mean it in the sense of, well, AT&T is going to have a little bit of a bonanza, but I doubt that because most corporations were only paying at about the 17-18% rate. I wonder if they'll get any savings at some of those big companies. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. I do have Washington on the line. Hold on one second for me, Washington. I just wanted to say that anybody, as we talked about state and local income taxes first with John,
yep.
And I want to say that if you are paying your estimated taxes, you should pay that estimated tax payment in December because that's going to give you the greatest chance to possibly get a deduction. Now, if you're in the AMT, you're not going to get the deduction anyway, you know, and that's
right.
A typical scenario with people who are paying estimated taxes. They are in the alternative minimum tax, so it doesn't really matter. But I would do it anyway. Because if you're going to have a chance to get a deduction, it's going to be this year. It's not going to be next year. Now, if you overpay and you have extra and you apply it to 2018, there's going to be a chance that you're not going to get a deduction. And, and what do I mean by that? There's a chance. It's going to be so confusing.
Right.
I'm not sure how the IRS is going to track that one. But here's another one. Anybody who's doing charitable contributions, if you tend to be charitably minded, especially to like a church or a university or something of that sort, and you know you're going to give $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 next year to your church or university, chances are you want to try to bunch that up into 2017 and tell the charity, look, I gave you everything I'm going to give you for 2018 in December of 2017, and I'm going to put a note in the basket every week saying, I gave you everything I was going to give you in 2017, or you're going to have to do qualified charitable distributions from IRA accounts if you're over 70 and a half years of age. Exactly 70 and a half. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. And we do have Washington in Pasadena. How can we help you, sir?
Good evening, Drew and Chris. How are you two?
It's Tommaso Bonbon.
Right, but it's Tom tonight.
Tom. Tommaso. Okay. Yes. Question about the TSP.
Yep. Go ahead.
All right. They've been saying that the I Fund has been doing the best so far this year out of all the funds.
Correct.
The international.
And,
uh-huh.
But do you know why?
No.
Well,
the
majority of the reason it's been doing well, more, you know, as the best fund, is because of the currency change. So, in other words, the U.S. dollar declined against the euro and the yen and other world currencies, and so their markets went up like the U.S. market, but the currency also, the foreign currencies also went up, and that gave it a double boost. So whatever their markets made compared to the U.S. market then got a little extra oomph on that because of the currency. Now, in 2016, the exact opposite happened. The dollar appreciated dramatically against those currencies. And even though their markets did almost as well as the U.S. market in dollar terms, the currency took it all away and actually ended up in a negative. So go ahead and ask your question now that you have the context of why the international went up.
So then that would make sense that for, let's say, a year's period, that's what it did. But there's no guarantee that, it sounds like it's going to be temporary.
So what I'm saying, Washington, is that, you know, when you see that in 17, you don't want to rush out and throw everything into the I Fund in 18, thinking that there's something magical going on there. You have to make a decision as to whether you want to bet on the U.S. currency continuing to lose against them and that their stock markets will outperform or at least perform in line with the U.S. And usually your best answer, Tom, is to just keep a good allocation.
Keep it going.
Keep
yeah.
a good allocation.
I mean, yeah,
not get carried away.
Currency, you know, guesses are just really very difficult. So you know, a lot of people thought coming in this year, with us raising rates, dollar was going to get stronger, got weaker. You know, going into next year, people think dollar's going to get weaker, it might get stronger. You know, so
right. So what you do is you keep a good allocation, and when you see a divergence that's happened for a long period of time, like we saw at the end of 2016, Tom and I said, mm-hmm. you know, hey, the international markets have underperformed the U.S. market for the last 3 years or so. Mm-hmm. Let's just increase our international allocation a little extra this year. Nothing dramatic. We didn't move it out of the significant range, but we did put a little extra international emphasis on it this year because they had underperformed so much.
Yep.
And so if somebody wants to increase their international allocation slightly in 2018, it probably is a reasonable bet still to continue that, but I
also
certainly wouldn't get carried
that
away.
The I Fund is an unhedged fund, but you know, sometimes you can get into something if you're doing a dollar bet and then your manager's hedging, it could totally screw up your strategy.
Yeah, you have to understand that they're doing that. Usually your best bet in the TSP fund, Washington,
right.
is to just stick with a lifetime fund where you just choose a year when you think you're going to retire, 2020, 2025, 2030, and just stick with that unless you really understand what those I funds and S funds and C funds are doing and why you want to allocate between them. All right?
That sounds very good.
All right,
that's
buddy.
Nice to work with.
You have
you
a great
Christmas,
my
Merry
friend.
Merry Christmas, yes.
And look at this, Chris. I'm
right on time.
Bam, right on time. You're like really proud of me. After the other two, I was close to on time. All right, we're going to traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. This is for business owners and presidents of companies listening today. If you have a 401k in your company, then let me warn you that lawyers are hunting for you with good reason. 401k plans with less than 1,000 employees have been built around revenue sharing, or in my words, commissions. The Department of Labor has opened a door for lawyers to sue you on behalf of employees unhappy with excessive fees in the plan. They are correct, but the funny thing is, the business owner has normally the majority of the money in the plan. You need a great plan for you and your employees, for everyone's retirement is dependent on it. We do a 401k review of your plan to help determine how to develop the best possible commission-free plan and keep the plan current. Call 410-823-SAVE, that's 410-823-SAVE, to schedule your 401k review. Everyone's retirement is dependent on it, so call 410-823-SAVE.
Star, a star, dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite.
That sounds like the same guy that was singing a second ago, Tom.
I think it was. It was perfect.
Yeah, that
Bing.
Guy. That
Good
guy.
Bing.
Yeah, your wife's going to be impressed with us finally. You know? She's going to say, wow, you guys are musical.
I'm waiting for the text.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, we're here on an open show. Get your tongue back in there. We're here on an open show. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. And we only have about 10 minutes, probably can take one or two calls if you want to call in, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. But we do have plenty to talk about if no one calls in. We got this new tax law. So, you know, the new tax law is clearly all about corporations. That's where the big revolution took place in the tax law. If you want to brag about the tax law that they passed, that's where the revolution was. 35% bracket down to 21% bracket, and a deduction for pass-through entities, for businesses that pass through business income and pass-through entity. These are big, big deals, and they're going to dramatically reduce the tax of businesses that hire people, and hopefully those businesses will use that money to hire more workers, bring on new technology, expand their businesses, and so forth. Now, there's no assurance of that, but that's the hope, and that's where the revolution was. For the individual, there was a bunch of chairs on the deck of the Titanic shifted around from the left deck to the right deck, and that's all they did, in my opinion. It's a, you know, from an individual's point of view, it's kind of a stupid tax law, but overall, like I was just saying, people under $500,000 of income, there was a
generally it was a positive.
There was a positive for a lot of those people. I can certainly pull up about you know, five or six ideas and say somebody in the $150,000 range or $200,000 or $85,000 range who had a lot of kids and they're now 17 or 18 years old. And they're still living at home, and they're still dependent. You're not going to get the credit anymore, and you're not going to get the exemption anymore. You're going to be a loser, you know?
Right.
I could come up with some of them. But for the most part, it's people over $500,000 that were taking lots of state and local income tax deductions. Actually, it was over $1 million. They're going to be big losers in this tax law. So that's what this thing's all about. There's a lot to talk about in that. Let's go to this one caller, though, and we'll see what, you know. Hey, Earl, this is Drew. How can we help you?
Yes, hi, Drew. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I listen to you all the time. Yeah, you're pretty enjoyable. I wanted to ask you about the stock at the Twitter. I noticed lately the Twitter, like, it went down a lot, and now suddenly it seems though that it's going up. And I was wondering, What's your opinion? Why it's gone up? Is it because of Donald Trump? That everybody in the whole world knows of Twitter? Well, what is it exactly?
No, I think what happened with Twitter is because if you go back and look in their dive, you know, it was all when Trump really was coming on the scene, and people were seeing and hearing a lot about Trump, and Twitter was dying on the vine because they just hadn't learned how to quantify all the clicks that they were having. You know, in other words, Facebook wasn't doing very well either until they learned how to turn the people who come on to Facebook into revenue sources. And Twitter has done a little bit better at that over the last quarter or so, and investors are starting to see the numbers come along. And that's what's moving the stock right now. But I tell you the truth, I don't follow Twitter stock enough to tell you whether that's going to be a trend that's going to continue or not. I don't know, Tom, if you have any thoughts toward it, but That's Twitter's problem,
right,
is they have to learn how to quantify or monetize the people that are coming on to Twitter. And Facebook has done a great job of that.
Yep.
Like, for example, you know, I can send you a gift. If I get
a
note that it's Tom's birthday, I can go on there and say, hey, send a box of chocolates to Tom on Facebook. Or or I can run my business on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And these are the things Facebook has done. And pay for click and all this kind of stuff. Twitter's got to learn how to monetize
it.
And by the way, Drew, I noticed that also a lot of big personalities, like all these sports stars and stars in Hollywood, they all go on there. But regular people, you don't hear that many regular people go on Twitter. It's more like the stars and everything. Do you feel that was true also about Twitter?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt, Earl, that the average person is the, what is it, 52 million people that follow Donald Trump, or is it 15 million? Mm. I don't know what it is. It's a big number. That's the average person. They're the followers. But you're right. It's all these big-name people, stars and athletes and, you know, politicians that are the Twitterers, the tweeters, I guess you would call them, the tweeters. And the rest of these people are a bunch of lemmings that are following them.
Right.
I don't follow them because I'm not going off the cliff they're going
to. That's right.
Okay. All right.
All right, Earl. You take care. Good question. Good question. You know, we tweet, and we tweet just strictly to tell people what our show's about and what articles we're writing. And if you want to read them, great. You know, if you don't, that's fine, too.
Right. Yeah. And that's the whole thing with all the electronic stuff, whether it be apps or these, you know, Instagram, Snapchats, you know, Facebooks. You know, everybody's been struggling to figure out, well, how do you monetize it? How do you get the advertising and so forth? So
back to the new tax law. So we already talked about the standard deduction. That's probably the biggest thing. The second thing that I noticed that's a good thing for Marylanders is this new rule that 529 plans can be used for K through 12.
Yeah.
And they were going to let the Tom Bombasudos of the world use it
for homeschoolers.
But last night, Bernie Sanders was the one that axed you. Bernie found in there that it violated Senate rules to allow homeschoolers to use the 529, and there was a big debate in Congress that it did or it didn't, and the parliamentarian, the judge or the referee, I guess they agreed with Bernie that it violated Senate rules, and they had to have a 60 vote, and they lost 51-48.
Yep.
Homeschools were out. That's totally bizarre.
Right.
I don't understand. But here's the good news.
But all the private schools in Maryland, I mean, we have a lot of private schools. That's a
private
big deal.
Private schools,
here.
But, you know, I mean, if homeschools, I don't understand why. You know, anyway, I'm not going to get into it. But here's the point. If you're sending your kid to a private school and it costs you $5,000 or more dollars a year, you should be putting it into the Maryland 529 plan, even if you intend to take it back out in 2 or 3 weeks to pay that tuition, because when you do that, you get a $5,000 income tax deduction on your Maryland state tax return, which is equivalent to about $400 of tax savings.
And assuming they're married, right.
And assuming you're married, and if you're single, it's $2,500, and that's equivalent to about a $400 tax savings. And so, you know, hey, at this point in time, I haven't heard anything different to that concept that you can do that. And now that they've made the 529 eligible, it's a great concept. Now, keep in mind, you can only use $10,000 of your 529 for K through 12, but your contributions always come back free of taxes.
Right.
It's unlikely, even if you take out $30,000, nobody's going to be taking out $20,000 of earnings from a distribution of $30,000 on a 529 plan.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're at the end of tonight's show. That went quickly, Thomas.
Last one before Christmas.
Last one before Christmas. And we do want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.